The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe in a creator, he has said regarding you, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Think about it. If you don't believe he exists, why should he reward you when you die? Fact of the matter is, if you're an unbeliever, you will end up as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon, unable to move around except by being attached to a living human being or animal or a messenger, an angel. You really don't want to be there. You could be stuck in your grave for a very long time, totally conscious, submerged in dirt. You don't want to be there, with a rotting corpse, by the way. If you are a believer or believed at some limited level at some point and have never taken your belief further, then Father has said concerning you, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? Think about it. If you just sort of believe and then carry on living your life as though Father doesn't exist, why should he do anything for you when you die? Why should he reward you? There's nothing to reward you for. So you could end up in the outer darkness, black, cold, really lonely, horrible place. Is that what you want for your life, for eternity? The message of this program is about building a deep relationship with the Almighty. And I encourage you to take this on board in this series. Tonight we're talking about the global flood that changed the world, part 8, how the geology and topography of our planet were formed based on a set of presentations created in 2010. All of this in the context that the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. So an overview of tonight's program. The broadcast addresses a number of important principles that can be drawn from the analysis presented in previous broadcasts. It is asserted that only one man clearly heard the Almighty, whose true name is Yah, at the time of the flood. We are cautioned not to put our wants ahead of Yah's counsel. It is stated that all that survived the flood were subject to some level of radiation, and therefore mutation. It is asserted that after the flood, selective breeding occurred. It is stated that the masterminds achieved a significant victory through Ham surviving the flood. It is observed that there was degradation of all life forms after the flood. It is stated that the land is drying out and that this is contributing to global warming. It is asserted that all modern age determinations are totally flawed. It is asserted that civilization has degraded and then partially recovered. It is observed that the level of error is huge. It is concluded that the flood has dramatically impacted the world as we know it. Various spiritual and religious considerations are presented. We adjured to seek truth, not error. It is reported that there is confusion regarding the true name of the Almighty Creator, which is Yah, the eternally self-existing. And it is stated that the true name of the man commonly known as Jesus is Yahshua, meaning Yah is salvation. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for 25 years, currently a business executive and consultant in the UK. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. Folks, if you don't understand that the whole reason you are here is to have a relationship with the Almighty Creator, you're going to be very disappointed at the end of your life. You can see my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. End Time Issue Ministries, one word. So let's have a recap of the overall sort of outline of the series that we've been broadcasting for the last couple of months. This broadcast is the culmination of a number of years of observation and research, coupled to formal training in geography, geology, science, mathematics, and most importantly, engineering. The broadcast seeks to make visible key aspects of the topography and geology of our planet that are obvious and in plain sight once one is sensitized to them. These observations evidence that the entire planet was submerged underwater at some time in the past, and that associated with this, the surface of the Earth was radically transformed and subject to massive tectonic ground movement events. All of this took place around 4,500 years ago, such that there are very few archaeological finds that are older than this, and the entire surface of the Earth dates back to this event. Theories of much older dates for the formation of the surface of the Earth and older datings of archaeological findings are shown to be flawed and false. We're moving on to chapter 11, implications of the global flood. What important lessons can we learn? I collected, collated, and prepared the material for the flood presentations and videos in 2010 and early 2011 and recorded them in March 2011 at the time of the Japanese tsunami. Since then, I've lived with the knowledge that I consolidated in preparing the videos, which is presented in detail in this series of broadcasts. During the ensuing period, I went through several times when I was really close to Father Yah and learned a considerable amount of new information that is not generally available or known. In this chapter, I will share some key learnings in terms of my current understanding of the significance of the flood, something that has shaped human understanding in the present age. Following this, I will address a number of points that stand out for me. Folks, it's so vital in assessing one's worldview, in assessing one's view of life in this age, to be aware of the reality of how the surface of the Earth was formed, the early history of mankind, the fact that we've only been around for 6,000 or just over 6,000 years, the fact that the entire surface of the Earth was totally mashed up 4,500 years ago, the fact that there is so much wrong thinking about the age of archaeological findings. Because if you believe we evolved over millions of years, you must think differently to if you realize that we were created just over 6,000 years ago, and that the Earth in its present form has only been around for 4,500 years. It must cause you to think differently. So I'm going to go through a number of points which I've deduced out of all my research and preparation of this material over a number of years. So I want to make the assertion that at the time of the flood, only one man heard the Almighty Creator. In his generation, Noah was the only human being in right standing with the Almighty, together with his wife and his son Shem and Shem's wife. Clearly, the others of his generation were not serving Yah in a meaningful manner, because if they had been, they would also have been warned to escape. I've also become more aware of the reality that Father Yah can do nothing on earth except through a living human being, and thus the decision to flood the earth has to have been taken in consultation with Noah, and in fact, Noah must have spoken the flood into existence. It's important to realize that at other times there has also been only one man really close to Yah. We see that with Abram, with Moshe or Moses, with Yahshua, Jesus. We see it with Muhammad, and to a lesser extent with other significant prophets who are recorded in the pages of historical writings such as the Bible and the Quran. In fact, it appears that there have been significant interludes of time when no one was truly hearing Father at a deep level as a friend. And one must conclude that it is possible in this age for there to be at most one man or woman hearing Father clearly, or perhaps not even one. It is therefore unwise for any human being to presume to be hearing Father really clearly unless they are very certain Father has told them that they are. I claim to be in this position. Next point. Do not put your wants ahead of Yah's counsel. About 2 years before preparing the book on which this broadcast is based, Father Yah explained to me that he did not want to save Noah's son Japheth and his wife, and his other son Ham and his wife. Japheth was an unbeliever and idolater, and Ham was an unbeliever and ancestor worshipper. Ancestor worshipper, read demon worshipper. The people of the Far East are descended from Japheth, and those of Africa from Ham, and they've largely retained these spiritual tendencies ever since. Father has said to me that he wanted to only save Noah and his wife and Shem and his wife, and that huge problems have resulted from listening to Noah's pleas to save all three of his sons and their wives. There is a huge lesson here in terms of not putting our carnal soulish wants and desires above Yah's counsel, thereby potentially causing huge problems in later generations. It is seductive to beg Father Yah to do things that we want, but often we want things that are not in our best interests or in Father's best interests. Folks, this is so important. We see this in the case of Abram and his first son Ishmael, where Yah had promised him a son through his wife. We see it in the case of Moses, Moshe, asking Yah that the person who would send Satan to the pit at the end of the first 6,000 years would be a descendant of Moshe through his son Gershom, which very nearly resulted in Satan winning the contest at the back in 2003. It's so important, folks. Pray what Father wants you to pray. Do what Father wants you to do. Ask him for what he wants you to ask him. Don't put your will, your desires in the way. Another key point. All that survived the flood was subject to some level of radiation. In previous chapters, particularly the chapter on the halfway house granite dome, I have pointed out that the Earth's molten core is kept molten by a nuclear fusion reaction that is constantly taking place, continuously taking place. The consequence is that matter from the center of the earth is at some level radioactive, as we saw for the granites. During the massive tectonic upheaval that accompanied the flood, There are estimated to have been around 20,000 volcanoes erupting simultaneously, plus granite domes intruding, lava flows and dikes intruding, all bringing molten and somewhat radioactive material to the surface of the Earth. Thus, all living organisms, including seeds in and on the waters, would at some level have been exposed to radioactivity. This radioactivity triggered minor mutations in the organisms so exposed, including to humans, animals, birds, fish, and plants. The range of species before the flood was relatively limited. This is why it is possible for Noah to take two of each species on the ship, assisted by taking young animals so that space limitations were accommodated. Folks, again, a really key point. We believe the false beliefs of evolution, when in fact devolution or degenerative evolution was taking place because of radioactive exposure. Post the flood, because of radioactive exposure during the flood and exposure to some level of radioactivity all over the surface of the Earth. For example, Noah's ship came to rest on a lava flow from a volcano. There was some level of mutation resulting in a diversity of species, such that we have many types of cats that originated from one pair of cats. The same with dogs and all other sorts of animals, birds, fish, and plants, as well as with humans. So we most notably have distinctly different physical attributes between the offspring of Shem, the European, Middle Eastern, and Near East Asian people, the offspring of Japheth, and who are the people of the Far East, and the offspring of Ham, who are the people of Africa. Thus, a component of what is perceived to be evolution is change stimulated by this radioactive exposure. Folks, I really encourage you to think out of the box on this one. Imagine a world where everything is mildly radioactive, a world in which there is continuous mutation, incorrectly called evolution, as the very perfect forms that Father created progressively degenerate through the exposure to radioactive material. It's a very, very different scenario to that which we have been taught at school and at university, and just in general society. It really, really is different. Another point, selective breeding. As people, animals, and birds dispersed from the site of the landing of Noah's ship, some level of selective breeding took place. So the Shemite people tended to marry and breed with other Shemite people, ditto the Japhethites and the Hamites, resulting in the distinctly different physical appearances being refined and embedded. In the same way, tigers in different lands have different characteristics, as with all other animals that have distinct local variants. These variations may well have developed, at least in part, due to environmental influences, giving rise to genuine evolutionary development, such as with the tortoises of the Galapagos. These tendencies were reinforced by continental separation, which saw groups of animals and plants isolated from their siblings by land movements. Selective breeding occurs when a male and female breed in other than a random selection basis. For example, if I'm blonde and I marry a woman who is blonde, we're more likely to have blonde children. And if we encourage our blonde children to marry blondes, we will eventually develop a purebred blonde subrace. By this form of selection, we have the various major races and tribes. Selective breeding can also give rise to giant variants, like Great Dane dogs, and very small variants, like Jack Russell Terriers. Breed the tallest male dog you can find with the tallest female dog you can find, and keep doing that, and in a few generations, you will have really tall dogs. This is the essence of all plant and animal breeding. Again, folks, there is so much wrong thinking about evolution, etc. Some of it is valid, some of it applies, but it's goes against a concept of a uniform, stable, steady state environment. And what we're seeing is that it's far from that. Further point, the masterminds achieved a significant victory through Ham surviving the flood. The world today in the spirit realm is governed by a council or junta of demonic masterminds, seven of them, who rule the satanic and demonic realm, taking orders from Satan or with Satan in the pit, they rule directly. These demons are the spirits of some of the first human beings who never believed in the Almighty before the flood. They survived the flood by realizing shortly before the flood started that Ham, who was an ancestor or demon worshipper, would survive the flood and that there was something afoot. These demons were then in a position to very quickly re-establish their reign on earth after the flood, and they have continued to reign ever since. So those who suspect conspiracies to rule the earth, which they attribute to human beings, are, at some level, correct. But the real masterminds are these demonic entities who are using the more than 100 billion demons and billions of satanic messengers on earth to direct and guide human beings down particular paths. It is up to each one of us who believes to ensure that they defeat the hold the demonic realm has in their lives through earnestly seeking Yah and his judgments and guidance in their lives. Folks, really important point here. If Noah had not taken Ham and Japheth, and particularly Ham and his wife, in the ark, in the rescue vessel, survival vessel, there would have been no demons on earth except if there was some on Japheth, and if Japheth had also been left behind, there would have been no demons. Instead, the strongest demons on earth were brought forward with Ham. The world would be a very different place if Noah had done what Yah wanted to do. Another point, we're going to talk about degradation of all life forms after the flood. It is reported that Noah was about 18 feet, that's about 6 meters tall, as evidenced by his grave and part of his skeleton that were found, and by the house at the location where the ship was located. Fossils of pre-flood animals and plants also indicate that very much larger life forms of the same plants and animals we have today existed before the flood. There is speculation as to why this degradation happened, but the important thing is that it did happen. So imagine this. Noah was a giant. Noah was 18 feet tall. It's written that mankind was created in the likeness and the image of the Almighty. So mankind was great in stature, great in intelligence, far, far more intelligent than we are today. But because of all that happened, the expansion of the earth resulting in a reduction in gravitational forces on the surface of the earth, all sorts of developments that were not intended when we were created, we have degraded to the point where we are today the most feeble, incapable, pathetic generation that has ever lived. We are degrading, folks. We're not getting better and stronger and more intelligent, etc. There's been a slight resurgence in the last few hundred years, but we're well on the way to breaking that as well, because we don't know the truth. Further point, the land is drying out and contributing to global warming. When the flood ended and water drained off the continents, the predominantly sedimentary rocks that made up most of the surface of the earth were totally saturated with water. There were also numerous inland seas. For example, the Sahara Desert was an inland sea, as was the Amazon rainforest. Over the millennia since the flood, water has been draining off and out of the continents, with the result that overall the global climate has been getting drier and as a consequence warmer. This drying of the continents is playing a significant role in global warming. Folks, in my opinion, I don't believe that carbon dioxide and other so-called greenhouse gases are having the effect that's claimed for them. Either the sun reaches the surface of the earth and sun's rays reach the surface of the earth and heat the surface of the earth, or they are absorbed by gases in the atmosphere. I can't see that it makes a whole lot of difference. I believe that there are other forces at play that are leading to global warming, and that we can do whatever we like to reduce the production of carbon dioxide, and it is going to have absolutely no effect. But that is not the core of my message. I just mention it for your consideration. We may be completely wasting our time. In fact, I believe we are completely wasting our time trying to reduce the emission of so-called greenhouse gases. And I think there are serious flaws in the way that's being worked out as well, by the way. Further point, age determinations are totally flawed. As has been spelt out in several places, the conventional methods of determining the age of fossils, strata, etc., are totally flawed. The surface of the Earth overall is around 4,500 years old, with a few artifacts and fossils slightly older than this. All teaching with regard to the age of the Earth is fundamentally as inaccurate, as are all age determinations that run to tens of thousands of years, let alone hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years, or billions of years. There is a major issue here with regard to the number of highly respected people who've fallen for these wrong datings and now seem reluctant to confront the truth. Folks, there are a fair number of people around the world who's saying what I'm saying. I'm not the one who originated this. There are others like Jonathan Gray and a variety of other people you can search on the internet who will tell you that the Earth's surface today is around 4,500 years old. They'll link that back to passages in the historical writings in the Bible. But people are reluctant, resistant to considering this possibility. So there's a small number of people who are really looking for truth, who take this on board, but the vast majority, including pretty much the whole so-called scientific community, just refuse to consider this possibility. They are so wedded and so attached to their wrong thinking. It has a huge impact on the way we look at life. A further point. Civilization has degraded and then recovered. It is important to recognize that the people who survived the flood were highly advanced technologically. Hence, the advanced civilizations such as Egypt that sprung up within a few hundred years after the flood. As people turned away from serving Father Yah and became more savage and more primitive, civilizations collapsed. We have seen several cycles of collapse and regeneration. Most recently, the regeneration that we're currently living through. As people turn away from Father, as is now happening, so more barbaric and primitive practices will become more pronounced. And eventually there will again be a degradation into a cycle of a dark age, and this is a massive turning around. Folks, this is so important. We are inclined to believe that we are the most advanced generation that has ever lived on Earth. Conventional teaching says that we've been progressively growing and improving, and our knowledge, etc., has been steadily improving. Right from the beginning, we have the whole fallacy of Iron Age and Bronze Age and what have you. When in actual fact, we had the technology very early on. Most of us forgot most of the technology as we degraded. A few people held on to it. There was a renaissance, another turning around to a dark age, a renaissance, another turning around to a dark age. And we're currently living in a renaissance. But there are troubling signs that we are starting to move back to a dark age. And so some people are starting to worry about the collapse of our civilization. And I would suggest for your consideration that maybe you should be giving that more than a passing thought. Further point, the level of error is huge. Considering the facts that have been presented here regarding the flood, it is apparent that in certain key areas with regard to history, geology, geography, botany, zoology, etc., there are huge errors. To the extent that we well understand the current state, the issue is with the historical explanations which, while erroneous, do not for the most part materially impact the application of current knowledge. That said, it is important to recognize that these errors do negatively affect the credibility of those who champion these incorrect theories, and as such, one can expect intense opposition to these ideas from many who do not have the appetite for admitting that they've been in error. Added to this, that quite a few of the people who do recognize these truths at some level are Bible worshippers, Bible punchers. They are trying to use the Bible as a sledgehammer to crack this nut. And they're making wrong statements based on the Bible, based on wrong understanding of the Bible, wrong claims that the Bible is the living word of God and without error, wrong claims that the Bible says that creation took place in 7 24-hour periods, any number of errors. And so we see a small cadre of people who have revelation about these truths, but their teaching is contaminated by all the other wrong thinking and wrong stuff that they propagate. That the people who do understand history, geology, geography, etc., can see immediately are wrong. So both groups focus on the error of the other group, and the result is that nobody actually has the truth, or very few people have enough of the truth to be really effective. So in conclusion, with regard to this section, the event commonly referred to as the flood has dramatically impacted the world as we know it today. There is considerable error in the field of commonly taught thinking and belief with regard to the development of the world we live in today. Please consider carefully all the material presented in this series and decide what you will do in order to align yourself with what is in your best interests. One can go through life believing in evolution over hundreds of thousands or millions of years, believing that there is no creator, believing that there will not be a judgment at the end of your life. And it's really not going to have a material impact on your life today. In fact, if you fairly strongly propagate and teach these errors, your demons will actually be very pleased with you, and you'll probably receive some promotion and some support from the satanic and demonic realm. On the other hand, if you're trying to propagate these truths, but you've got a whole lot of other error, the demonic forces are going to do everything they can to destroy you and take you apart. All of this is much more complex than the average church or mosque or synagogue or yoga school or whatever is teaching. You need to think about it carefully. Going to move on to chapter 12, some spiritual and religious considerations. In closing, I would like to offer a few spiritual and religious points for your consideration. See the proof of global flood section on the website for the graphics. If you go into the website, about 3-4 rows in the menu below the at the bottom of the towards the bottom of the menu, you'll find a menu item called proof of global flood. If you go in there, you'll find a series of child pages with the different flood videos and slideshare presentations. I encourage you to go and look at those and see what else there is. Look at presentation 11 here, some spiritual and religious considerations. What follows is, in my opinion, the most important information in this entire series. It does not help to accept that there was a flood if one does not come to repentance and seek a deep personal relationship with our Father in heaven. It's difficult to have a deep relationship with Him if we do not know the basics about Him. And we will not know the basics about Him unless we have a reasonably good understanding of where we come from. So this coming chapter seeks to present some critical information which I hope you will find of value. In what follows, there's some fairly theoretical material. To the best of my knowledge, most of it is fairly original. And I would encourage you to stay with me for this broadcast, the rest of this broadcast, and the next broadcast to get a better feel for what I'm talking about. A key point: seek truth, not error. Our world is full of error. Do not get stuck on it. I have error I do not know about. If I did know about it, I wouldn't be error, would it? Do not get stuck on what you think I have in error. Seek the truth that I have. Seek the truth the Almighty Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing, has for you today. When you meet people, focus on the truth they have that you lack, and share the truth you think you have. Do not get into arguments. Share what you hold to be truth, and gather what another may have that is truth, and then, if you cannot agree, move on. There are many lost truths. There is a huge spread of subject areas, so two people can have deep truth and deep error in opposite directions, such that they can both be close to Father Yah at a material level, and yet disagree on almost everything. See the website for a more detailed discussion with some graphics to make the point. Folks, this is, if you look at Christianity and Islam, that are continually in conflict, continually at war with one another. That's what I'm talking about. The Christians have a whole lot of truth and a whole lot of error. And the Muslims have a whole lot of truth and a whole lot of error. So the Muslims can, and it's the poles apart. So the things that the Muslims have in truth, the Christians have in error, and the things the Christians have in truth, the Muslims have in error. So when they look at each other, all they see is the error, because in their pride, they can't see their own error. So they see the error in the other one, and they then reject them. And that is why there's this massive disconnect between so many Muslim and Christian people, because they don't recognize the truths that they each have. They are obsessed with the errors that they have. There's a lot of confusion regarding the names and terms and beliefs, and particularly regarding the true name of the Almighty Creator, which is Yah, the eternally self-existing. There are major errors and confusion relating to names. The true name of the Creator is Yah. Y-A-H is the best rendition that I have in English. His most widely used name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, which is frequently translated as Yahweh, or more accurately, Yahweh, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H. His name is not the Lord, which is a literal translation of Baal, which is a pagan name. The Lord is therefore blasphemous and should be avoided, and it also gives rise to confusion, because in the so-called New Testament, Yeshua, Jesus, is called Lord. And then people make the incorrect extension that Yahweh, translated as Lord in the Old Testament, is equivalent to calling Yeshua Lord in the New Testament, and then they think that Yeshua is Yah. So, folks, just stop using the Lord. It's confusing. It's wrong. Just stop using it. There's no reason to use it. His name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, or Yah, or if you must, Yahweh or Yahuwah. There's no reason to use the Lord. It's just wrong. Just stop it. Then Yeshua, Yah is salvation. The man commonly referred to as Jesus was a Hebrew. He was not a Greek. Jesus is a derivative of the Greek word aesis, which in turn is derived from Zeus, which is the name of a pagan, that satanic deity, satanic god, and is therefore blasphemous. Avoid the use of Jesus at all times. Jesus means blessed of Zeus. His true name was Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, which means Yah is salvation. This is the message which he came to bring, and he should always be referred to by this name, Yahushua. It is an insult and disrespectful to call the most powerful human being in existence, who is king of all human kings and lord of all human lords, by anything other than his correct name. Folks, I find people who fuss about this. They say, well, we've always called him Jesus. Well, just because you've always called him Jesus doesn't mean that it's right. It just means that you're so out of touch with reality, you're so out of touch with the Almighty, you're so out of touch with Yahushua that you don't realize that you're upsetting them and piling up sin that's going to bring judgment on your head at the end of your life. Folks, if you are serious about serving the Almighty, don't use these pagan names. The Creator is Yah. Many call you Jesus is Yahshua. It's not that difficult if you really want to please him. So I want to wrap up by asking you, where are you in your relationship with Father? Do you realize that it is possible for you to become the closest to Father of any human being alive today? Folks, there's so much wrong thinking. It's not about which church or mosque or synagogue or yoga school or whatever you go to. It's not about which pastor or priest or imam or rabbi or yogi or whatever you follow. It's about, do you in person, the person you look at in the mirror every morning, do you in person have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator? And I suggest for your consideration that the answer to that is no. How do I know? Because Father says there's pretty much no one who's close to him. And if you're one of the few who are an exception to that, who really are close, forgive me. But the vast majority of people are nowhere near being close to the Almighty. It's there for you, folks. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, pink or green, tall or short. As long as you are a living human being on this planet, it is available for you to become closer to Father Yah than anybody else. Your religion, your denomination, your church, your mosque, your synagogue, your yoga school, your whatever is totally irrelevant. It's about you and him. You can learn from me. There's a lot of material on the website. But ultimately, it's available for you to get to know him deeply personally. To recap tonight's broadcast, we're looking at the global flood that changed the world, part 8. This broadcast addressed a number of important principles that can be drawn from the analysis presented before this. It was asserted that only one man clearly heard the Almighty. We were cautioned not to put our wants ahead of Yah's counsel. It was stated that all that survived the flood were subject to some level of radiation. It was asserted that after the flood, selective breeding occurred. It was stated that the masterminds achieved a significant victory through Ham surviving the flood. It was observed that there was degradation of all life forms after the flood. It was stated that the land is drying out and that this is contributing to global warming. It was asserted that all modern age determinations are totally flawed. It was asserted that civilization has degraded and then partially recovered. It was observed that the level of error is huge. It was concluded that the flood has dramatically impacted the world as we know it. Various spiritual and religious considerations were presented. We adjured to seek truth, not error. It was reported that there is confusion regarding the true name of the Almighty Creator, which is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. It was stated that the true name of the man commonly known as Jesus is Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. Folks, if you haven't heard the previous programs, go to the website and go to the section towards the bottom on the radio program, and you'll find most of the back issues there with transcripts. Otherwise, you can go to the broadcast website and get all the back issues. To wrap up, in terms of my overall message about the deep relationship, five key documents, all of which are available on the main menu on the website. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, near the bottom of the menu. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator, near the bottom of the menu. Folks, this is such an important document. If you decide right now that you want to get close to the Creator, go to the website, download this document. It's there as a PDF, as well as readable on the website. Read it and apply it. I am very confident that if you apply everything there, it's also been in, I broadcast on this a few months ago. If you apply everything that's there, in a few years, you will be really close to the Father. Recommended worship near the bottom of the menu. Songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Detailed article on the names at the top of the menu. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Near the bottom of the menu. All available, www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, one word. Click on the show, then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. I apologize for not answering questions the last two broadcasts. There was a slip up there and I didn't get the questions. So if you'd like to ask those questions again, please do so. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I would just like to say to you, as I said a few minutes ago, folks, it doesn't matter your religion, your race, your gender, your age, your height, your wealth, your education. Father wants a deep relationship with you. He will meet you where you are right now, today. What's required is a quality decision on your part, and then some prayers, If you go to the website and look at the pages on prayers, you'll find a whole lot of relevant prayers that I would encourage you to start praying. Get the article on seven components of drawing close. Put it into practice. Contact me. I'll help you to get there. Thanks so much for listening. Good night. Father, I